Really great to finally meet some of the guys from East London. And as Andre said, we are good friends coming along for quite a long time. And it's exciting to be here with you this morning. And it was sort of a big challenge to think about what are we going to be sharing with you today. Because we've got this one morning to talk to you about marriage. And marriage is like going to last for 60 years. So how are we going to... What do we say and what don't we say? And so there's basically almost 20 different topics that we could have tackled today, and everyone important. And the one we're tackling this morning is not necessarily, in fact, it is definitely not the foundation of the marriage. Our foundation is Jesus Christ, the rock upon which we stand. Our foundation is our relationship with God. And from that place, we can have blessing in our marriages. I'll speak more about that probably tomorrow morning. But our topic for this morning in general is a well-loved one, but not often spoken about one. And that's the topic of sex. Okay, and we're not going to be talking about don't do this and don't do that and so forth. We're going to be tackling some issues. Some of you are going to be blushing this morning. Hopefully we're going to have a few good laughs. And hopefully by the end of today, when we get home tonight, we're going to be living the dream. In the privacy of your own house. Praise God. So, I'm going to ask the two ladies in the front just to help me with time. I need about half an hour for my first session and then another half an hour for the other one. So, I'm going to open up with, before I get to the scripture, I want to read. One of the reasons why we're talking about sex and intimacy here today is because it's a troubling thing very often. It's where frustrations can come into the marriage, and that's where that separation journey that Andre showed you can often start, because of misperceptions, miscommunication, expectations that isn't met, or desires that you have that is not met, or just plain frustrations. And a lot of misunderstanding that can take place there. And by and large, all over the world, the church is relatively silent on this topic, because it's sort of one of those taboo things. You can talk about it, and basically when you talk about it, just don't have sex before marriage, and that's sort of the bottom line. Okay, and marriage is good and sex is good, but we don't really talk it through. And the result is that the world is discipling the Christians in terms of sexuality in their marriages. Because there's one voice that we hear through Hollywood, through the television programs, and even through Seven the Lawn. Oh, terrible. And the magazines that we get and the stuff we read on the internet. So because the church is so silent, and so today, we're going to be speaking to you very straightforward. We're going to be saying things to you that you didn't think, wow, should he say this in the church? And my answer is yes, because if we don't say it in the church, where are we going to say it? Okay. So, the first scripture, Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And the man and his wife, this is Adam and Eve, were both naked and were not ashamed. And that's the title for my first session today. Naked and not ashamed. In marriage, and sometimes when it comes to sexuality, it often happens that there's a shame that comes in, a false shame that comes into our marriages and steals from us the joy that we're supposed to have, the fruit that we're supposed to have, this exhilarating time and this journey together of connecting with one another, heart to heart, soul to soul, eye to eye. And in my opinion, I want to make a very bold statement by saying I believe that the Christian marriage or Christian married people is supposed to have the best sex on the planet. No orgy or whatever else is supposed to come nowhere near what a Christian couple can experience. And that is for me the dream that I want to hold before you today. To say God has for you blessings in store. God has for you exciting times in store. And we're going to talk about some of the pitfalls and why we miss out on that so many times. And I'm going to start off by sharing with you just some of the things that is causing us not to walk in that. Let me just say before I carry on, why is it that I say the Christian marriage is supposed to be the best? Because in marriage, you have a covenant relationship. Andre was talking about talking to your partners. You know, I actually prefer the word spouse because it's popular in the world today to talk about your partner and you're not married. Am I right? And I always want to ask, so what business are you in? If you're partners. Because partner and as opposed to spouse or husband and wife, it simply means that you haven't come to a place in your life where you love that person enough to come into covenant terms, that you say, until death do us part, that I give you everything I am, everything I have is yours, what is yours is mine, and my life belongs to you, my heart belongs to you and to none other, and where you can look each other in the eye and look through the window of the soul and look into each other's souls and say, I am yours and you are mine, and give of yourself. There's a place of surrender in a marriage and an intimacy in marriage which you cannot find outside of marriage. There can be all sorts of stimulants and sex toys and whatever else things and exciting things, but there's nothing that comes to that moment when a husband looks his wife in the eye and vice versa, and there's that connection, body to body, spirit to spirit, soul to soul, and there's hearts that's like melting together, and you're surrendering one to another and giving of yourselves and locking those hearts together. It's more than just a physical sensation. It's more than just a physical pleasure. It's more than just being close to somebody. It's more than just being emotional, connected. It's soul to soul. It's heart to heart. And therein lies for me the greatest joy that a Christian should be able to have. But many people don't have freedom because they associate this. There's some shame that we often still register. I see, as we travel, Christelle and I travel, and we minister on the topic and on relationships and marriage quite often. And I see a lot of shame in the Christian church. And today, my aim this morning is to break the power of shame over you and your marriage and over your relationship. That you can have freedom and liberty to be yourself, to give of yourself with total abandonment. Where does this shame come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes, first of all, from the power of associations. And secondly, mental images that we connect with throughout our lives. And then those mental images are burned into our mind. And we regard certain associations as unholy, as shameful. Let me give you an example. When my brother and my two sisters and I, we were little children, we used to call our private parts die verkeerde plekkie. And then my brother would kick me there, and then I would run, Mama, 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 waar het my op die verkeerde plekkie geskop? And so, from childhood, you have this imprint. That's the wrong place. Ooh, don't touch there. You know, the little girl scratches, and Mama say, Nya! The little boy is playing, and Mommy says, Stop playing with that thing. And immediately it's like, that's the don't touch zone. That's the verkeerde plekkie zone. And it starts from very small. Then we grow older, and then we hear sex before marriage is wrong. It's a sin, and which it is. But sometimes the sex and sin connection, the SS, sex and sin, that association is the one that burns into our memories. Because for 18 years or 20 years or 22 or 25 years, you're hearing sex before marriage is wrong. And it's like that little word before just fades away. And now you come into marriage and you still feel a little bit like it's wrong. You still feel a little bit like I cannot truly fully express myself. In some churches, I've heard it preached that they say, you can have sex as long as you don't enjoy it. Otherwise, it's a sin if you enjoy it. Foreplay before marriage also brings shame in marriage. Because when before you get married, you are indulging in foreplay, and you're touching here and you're touching there, and things are getting heated up, and you're enjoying this, and this is quite lacquer, and then, woo, you know, you You get the feeling there. But inside of you, there's a knowing that this is wrong, that this is not right. There's that guilty feeling that you have. And for those who've had sex before marriage, even more so. And then that association, which the first time when you touch each other, which is supposed to be on the honeymoon night, has now got a negative connotation. Some of those wonderful experiences in the journey of foreplay has now been tagged unholy, shameful in your memory bank. The same thing happens when we watch movies or pornography or just some of the television programs. I mean, the age restrictions have changed since the day when I was small. You know, what was 2 to 18 then is now 2 to 13 parental guidance. And so we see those things and we certain actions that people do, there's certain associations of what happens. Sorry, I'm going to be battling through this cough a bit, but I'm going to get through my message. And we come into our marriage with those images. Like, you know, sometimes you see in a movie, the couple is in the kitchen. Okay, and there's wine glasses on the kitchen table and everything. And then they come there and they, you know, smash everything away. And then they climb on top of each other there. And there they go at it, you know, and you see this is a sinful kind of relationship. You know, they obviously not married. And then your association with sex on the kitchen table is, no, that's not good. Now, I'm not saying that's what you should be aiming at or that, like, that's the ultimate thing. But it just gives you an example of how that association and that image can become an imprint in your mind. And then you come in that same situation and you feel, oh, no, but I saw that thing. And it was unholy in that context, and you bring it into your marriage. And you feel uncomfortable. When the truth is, you can have sex in any room in your house if you want to. Okay, you can have that freedom. You can have that blessing to just move about. Now, again, when we look at the world and our experiences, it's like certain actions and even sometimes certain positions are associated with immorality when it is indeed not necessarily the case. Let's talk about just something. I'm talking straight today, like I said. When it comes to sex positions, there's one that I really dislike, the name that I dislike. It's called the missionary position. I'm sure you all know that. It's like the basic one. Do I need you to describe it? Okay, I'll leave it there. So it's like the most plain and basic and simple kind of position. Now, I'm a missions man. And I am offended by that connotation. Because the connotation is the missions man is that holy man, and he can just do it like one way and sort of like, you know, be focused on and not enjoy it too much and just, you know, get this sort of over and done with. But I want to tell you that a missions man is an adventurous man. And a missions man wants to live life boldly. And I've heard conversations where Christelle has... She let me in on a secret. One of the conversations he's had with a lady, and the lady said, "Does your husband also want to try some funny positions?" And then sometimes it happens that people feel uncomfortable when they're not supposed to be uncomfortable, you know. Practically, yes. I mean, if you're going to hook your feet behind your head, I mean, that is going to be uncomfortable, you know. It's got to be practical. It's got to be workable. It's got to be pleasurable. It's got to be all of those things. But we have to come to a place, I believe, where we can be free with our bodies, free with whatever position we want to have, in whatever place in the house you want, where you want to be, because the bottom line for me is there is nothing that a married man and a woman can do together in terms of sexual relations that is going to be unholy, that is going to be shameful, that is going to be wrong. There's one or two things that I'm going to mention that Scripture says, okay? But for the rest of it, I want you to get this picture today that the man and his wife, they were naked and they were not ashamed. Because that shame is going to steal your joy. It's going to steal your freedom. It's going to steal that ability for you to surrender yourself to your spouse fully and completely. Leviticus 18, verse 19 to 23. It's not on there, but you can just go study it. Just write it down if you want to. And that's where the Bible does speak about some no-nos. It speaks firstly about bestiality, sex with animals. It speaks about a man lying with another man as with a woman, in other words, anal sex. I'm bringing that in because we've discovered in Standerton that there's a lot of men, Christian men, not in our church, but in the community, that's starting to put pressure on their wives to do that. Why is that? Because that's what they see in the pornography channels. So there is a reality in that, and I'm mentioning that one specifically. Then in Secunda, right next to us, is a popular thing called swinging or wife swapping. And it's like a standard. It's like we're going out Friday night to so-and-so, and we're going to have like five couples, and we're going to swing, swing, swing. Okay, now, very clearly, that is not of God. Very clearly, that is not biblical. So you can study those things, but as for the rest of it, in terms of your intimacy with one another, there is no shame. There is freedom, there is liberty, there is joy. Amen. Okay. Now, here's another bold statement. God is not embarrassed when you have sex. Sometimes we think, when you have sex, we think, oh, God, they're going to go for it again. Is he a claw? Let me just put your mind at ease. Because sometimes we feel God is a holy God, and because we already have this built-in condition that we think sex is not holy, that you know, we should be a little bit embarrassed if God is going to be in the room. And I was like, God can't be there when we're busy with this now. You are made of body, soul, and spirit. When the two seeds come together, there's DNA that mixes and forms a new DNA pattern, and a body is created. Where does the soul and where does the spirit come from? God puts it there. In other words, when you have sexual intimacy, there's three parties involved. Right in that moment when the two seeds come together, God breathes into that union and into that combined cell there, and he breathes into it a soul and a spirit, and a new living being is created. God created everything you have on your body, every part of it, every action of it. He is not embarrassed. And we need to come to a place where I want to say another bold thing, and that is that I believe you can actually trust God for a blessing in the bedroom. I can even call it like an anointing. Like the Holy Spirit helps you and blesses you. Does that sound strange? I heard the story of an old man, a Buddhawam, Antani, who tells the story of when they got married, like in the 1940s or somewhere before the big free sex movements and those things in America came. And you know, they didn't have people to really tell them. You know, the old Buddha, they never talked about these kind of things. And they didn't even know exactly how it works. So now they get married, they're 25 or whatever, and now the man sits with his wife on the bed, and they sitting there. And he says, Melifi, kom ons bid. And then he prays and he says, God, we don't know what to do. Please help us now. And God did help them. You can ask for God's help. Because God said, go into the world, be fruitful and multiply. God wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to have lots of sex and lots of children. But well, we've got five, by the way. It's not a must. You don't have to have five, but or more. But God wants us to be fruitful and he wants us to multiply. Christelle and I, whenever we decided now's the time for us to have a baby, we felt that the time and the season is right. We would actually pray together, sitting on the bed beforehand, and we would pray and say, Lord, I pray that you bless my seed. I pray that you bless Christelle's seed. I pray that you bless this union as we come together now. I pray, God, that you breathe life into that cell when the two meet together. And we've had two miscarriages. The first two babies were miscarriages. So there's seven conceptions. Out of the seven, five of them, we knew the exact moment of conception. We felt it and experienced it right there. I'll tell you, that is a glorious experience. When you're in that moment where you're making love with one another and a new living being is created, and you know the exact moment in time. That is awesome. It's amazing. And when I say God can give you an anointing, I'm serious about that. You can have faith for God to help you. I was praying this morning, and the Lord showed me that there are some ladies here that experience either had in the past or are still experiencing pain during intercourse. And I feel that God is saying to you that he wants to heal you of that today. You need to put your trust and your faith in him, and he wants to heal you. If somebody can remind me that we pray for that. I don't want to call anybody out, but that you put your faith out because God's word is going out to you today and he's saying to you, I want to heal you today. You can put your faith into your marriage. You can put your faith into your marriage room. Now, coming back to God saying, be fruitful and multiply. God wants us to have lots of sex, and that's why he decided to make it pleasant. That's why he created the orgasm. And for the ladies, are so blessed they can have multiple orgasms. Isn't that, I'm a little bit jealous in terms of how they've been favored there. But God wants you to enjoy it. God wants you to have fun during the process. Now let's have a quick look at how God sees sex in marriage. Proverbs or the Bible. Proverbs 5 verse 15 to 20. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with a wife of your youth, a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let a breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? What a powerful scripture. What an exciting scripture. Now, I'm going to interpret this for you. For those who haven't worked out what the cistern or the fountain is, that's the man. Okay? Because the fountain just lets the water come out. And it's easy and quick. And it just runs somewhere fast and furious. And then the well, that's the lady. If you want to get to the water there, you've got to dig deep. And you need to sort of, you know, work and pull up and pull up and pull up that water, and then eventually you get the bucket of water coming out there. What is the water? That water is that eros love, that sexual love, that explosion of passion that happens there. And the men, they like fountains, man. It's just going like that. But the ladies, is you've got to work it gently. You've got to build up, and you've got to be patient, and you've got to pull out that water, and eventually it's going to come. But when it comes, it's a bucket full. I'm going to adjust this thing a little bit higher. As I then I can look at you more easily. So, okay, I'll try and be quicker now. Ooh. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Okay. So here the Bible says, let your fountain be blessed. Now, this sounds strange because it says, you mean like that whole process there can be blessed? Can we just celebrate that? Yes, we can have that. And then it says, rejoice with the wife of your youth. In other words, you come to that place where you're saying, hallelujah. And I remember, I forgot about it, but Christelle told somebody else at another speaking engagement once, when we got married on our honeymoon day, the first night, and we saw each other for the first time there after this whole wedding ceremony, and I forgot about it, but I said, hallelujah, nou kan ek 'n kaalvrou gryp. God wants to bless you and bring you to the place where he says you can rejoice, you can be happy with your wife of your youth, and let your fountain be blessed. Let that everything that you're going to be doing there be blessed. It says, let her breast satisfy you at all times. At all times, let her breast satisfy you. Say that with me, at all times. At all times, let her breasts satisfy you. Come on, say it with passion. At all times, let her breasts satisfy you. Okay. It says, be intoxicated with her love. That means get drunk with Eros love. It's like, you know, you get sort of drunk and you're like, whew, I don't know what has hit me here now. It's like that incredible high. So what he's talking about here is not just having fun. He says, I want you to have so much fun and you're going to be enjoying it so much, you're going to get drunk with love. Doesn't that sound good? Not wine, but with love, with this erotic expression of love. And again, he says, always. Be intoxicated always in her love. Now, sometimes there's what we would call a quickie, you know. We just do things quick, and it's not always like it's going to be an earth-shattering explosion. But in principle, that is God's desire for us. That we can have this intoxicating experience. That we come to a place of total surrender to each other where there's no limits, there's no shame, there's just this total abandonment in each other's arms. Now, when Christelle and I did marriage enrichment or, you know, marriage prep, before we got married, the pastor and his wife, I'm not going to say who that was, told us and they said, listen, guys, you need to have freedom in marriage, and if you want to swing from the chandeliers, then swing from the chandeliers. And I always thought to myself, why would I do that? I have no desire to swing from the chandeliers. I want to add to that and say, listen, if it's your fancy to put on a Superman suit and give your wife a Supergirl suit and you can together have super sex, then go for it. If you like Batman, that's also okay. And Catwoman. But have the freedom to express yourself, to be free and to be blessed. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 3. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Render to the wife the affection due to her, and likewise. There is affection that you need to give to your wife. And the theme for this weekend is love gives. And you need to render affection to your husband, to your wife, that is due to her and due to him. We're going to talk more about that as the morning goes on. Do not deprive one another. Do not hold back. And also don't force yourself upon one another. Sometimes I hear of married men force themselves on their wives, and it's not supposed to be like that. To be forceful, but also not to withhold. That we come to that place that it becomes an issue. There needs to be a celebration and a freedom. Now, coming back to shame and a lack of confidence that we sometimes experience is not only because of the connotations and past experiences, but there can be other practical things as well. Sometimes it can be weight, that we don't feel confident. That maybe my boobs is too big or it's too small, or and the men are just concerned, you know, is everything big enough? And we have this insecurity. Sometimes it goes beyond that. You're all young, yeah, but I've spoken to quite a number of older men, and then, you know, things don't work like they used to as fast. And sometimes men get insecure because they have premature ejaculation. They have weak erections. We have these sexual insecurities. Am I able to fulfill my wife? Am I able to fulfill my husband? Am I going to be good enough for him? Can I wear this lingerie? Is he going to think, oh, that doesn't suit you, my baby? What is he going to say? Hey, come here, my bokeh. Sometimes we feel afraid. We're shy. We're ashamed. And I want you today to come to a place where you say, I don't care about that shame anymore. That you make a peace with your body. Say this with me. I love my body. I love my body. Yeah. Okay. Your body is a gift to your spouse. Some women, I'm not saying this is what you need to do, but some women are shy. I'll get to this a little bit later, but men sometimes like it if a lady would do like a, you know, they have this imagination of the wife's going to come in there and do a whole, you know, the strip show kind of thing. Not very few ladies actually do that. Very few ladies actually have the guts to do that. But ladies, I have one piece of critical advice to you. Take your oma's nachrokie and throw it away. You know those old long ones? The big wide ones that looks like a tent with the frillikies and the falikies. Take that and throw it away. Burn it. And trample on the ashes. And then you go and find yourself something really hot, okay? And be blessed in it. Your husband will be so blessed. Hallelujah. Men, I'm waiting for some amens here, but okay. Right. Love gives. As you both focus on giving, you will both be very blessed. The best gifts are the unexpected, the unsolicited, given freely. Then I'd like to give you another tip, as I'm almost running out of time for my first session here. Communicate and write down what you like. In other words, in terms of how, what blesses you and what you like and what satisfies you, write it down and share it with one another. There's a couple in our church in Stanerton, an older couple in the probably in the 60s. And so the lady said to us the other day, she said, you know, sex is very simple. You tell each other, this is how you tickle me. That is what my lat killie, and that is what your lat killie, and then killie jylle mekaar. Now, sometimes you need to, not sometimes, you have to come to a place where you have that conversation where you're going to say, this is what tickles me. And he says, oh, okay. And then we can go for that. So you're going to be, a lot of times couples are unsatisfied because they don't communicate. They don't say what works and what does not work. It's not only about what works, but also what it does not work. What is irritable, what is like not lekker. You think it's lekker and then it's not so lekker, but just communicate and speak to one another. A couple of other tips. Share with each other the highlights of your marriage thus far in terms of this area. Because that will give your spouse a good indication of what was really amazing for you and what really hit the jackpot, okay? And I want to also encourage you to come to a place where you actually talk about those dreams. You know, the fantasies and the ideas that you have. It doesn't have to be Superman and Supergirl. But just that you communicate to each other, what is those things that you would really love to try? Really want to try and experience so that you can get back to that. Okay. And then, so it highlights of the past, the ideals that you would still like to try and experience. And then something that I call live feedback. I'll talk more about it later. But ladies, it means very simply that you need to know the guy. You need to let him know when he's hit the jackpot, okay? When he hears the sound of the jackpot going, and the coins are coming out there, then he's going to say, wow, I like that. And you might find that he's going to hit the jackpot more as you let him know when it's happening and how it's happening. It's like those GPS voices. In 300 meters, turn left. But you got to do it a little bit differently, you say. Like 2 centimeters to the left. Yep. Mm-hmm. You're getting warmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I so on. Yeah. If you don't have your GPS working, how is it going to find the destination? Get your GPS working. Okay. Ephesians 4 verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. There are some obstacles to fulfillment in sex. The first one is anger. That's why it says don't let the sun go down on your anger, because when the sun goes down, you're supposed to have fun. But you don't have fun when you're angry. Has anybody worked that out yet? So sometimes Christelle and I would sit until 3 o'clock in the night, talking through things, working through things, and we don't feel like it. We're both like, you know, we know when we kiss and make up, it's going to be better than ever. Have you ever discovered makeup sex is the best? It's like, wow, it's amazing because you've worked each other out and now, whew, you know, like iron sharpens iron. Let me explain that. When you put it under a magnifying glass, it looks like this. And then little pieces of metal is cut away. And then eventually it's smoother. So when you have that friction and the heat is there and the little pieces are breaking off, the little pieces that keeps you apart, and then the two blades become sharper. And so when you have that conflict and when you have that sharpening, you're actually closer together. But sometimes we've been so angry, we don't even want to be that happy makeup thing afterwards. But we still work it through. If you want to have a blessed marriage, you have to apply this principle. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Don't turn your back on your wife or your husband in bed and say, well, I'm not even going to talk to you. Because then you're going to slide down that mountain that you saw earlier today. You are. I'll be shorter on my next one. Second obstacle is when someone is emotionally upset. Most of the time it would be the ladies, not always, most of the time. And so gentlemen, if you are in the mood tonight and she's emotionally upset, forget about your mood and fix her emotions. Not fix it like a mechanic, but nurture her. Bring healing to that emotions in her heart. So that she can come to a woman cannot give herself freely to a man while she's emotionally upset. So work it out. Then stress is a major factor that cuts it. When there's stress at work or whatever, try and cut that out. Tiredness and sometimes interruptions from kids, okay? You'll figure that out later. Finally, on this topic here, I want to share with you, have fun. Experience freedom. You know, I've often said to single people, I talk about, you know, how we must fight the temptations that comes along in the run-up to marriage. And I say, you know, there's certain triggers that triggers a sexual response or an erotic response. And it's like, you know, when you're just going out and you're sitting on the chair and a certain chair or a certain bed, and she touches your leg and you touch her leg, and then things happen, or there's a kiss right here behind the ear, or, you know, whatever that may be, or a certain reaction that's a trigger and leads you to a place where you know you're going to not be able to withstand the temptation. Before you get married, you stay away from those triggers. But once you get married, you need to get trigger happy. And you need to pull those triggers and get excited about it. Be free. Have liberty. Amen. I just want to pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will break over us the power of shame. That you will break over us false perceptions of what is okay and what is not okay. Lord, that we can come to a place of total and complete abandonment in marriage, in each other's arms. Lord, that you will help us to take away those obstacles that keep us away from having fulfillment, absolute fulfillment in you. Lord, I pray that you take away the lies that Satan has been preaching to us. And that you do a restoration today. In Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like for you to do, stand up and give your wife or your husband a 5-second kiss. We're going to do it together. If you don't work together, you're going to come and do it in the front, okay? Okay? Are you all ready? 1, 2, 3. Nou gaan ons te wild raak hier, jong. Okay, you can sit down. I'm going to go over to my next session, and then Christelle's going to come, and we're going to have another quick break, and then Christelle's going to come. The next session is going to be concerning what she should know. In other words, these are the things that sometimes men want their wives to know. Christelle's going to do a similar session that you're not necessarily going to say to her yourself, or that you don't necessarily know how to express it yourself. Okay, so I just want to check my time here. Okay, I've got a few minutes. Ladies, first thing I'd like you to know is that there is a very powerful connection between sex and your man's ego. Some of you may know that already. And the world portrays an ego sometimes as a negative thing. Oh, that guy's got such a big ego. Now, a man is created to have an ego, and that ego is what establishes his manliness, his manhood. It's that ego that's going to cause him to fight against the battle or the armies that's going to come against him. It's that ego that's going to make him get up in the workplace in the morning and go fight the giants in the office and you know, rip the boardroom apart and you know, do his thing and stretch his stuff. And, you know, he needs that ego kind of thing. In the old days when the men went to war, the night before the war, everybody was making love. And then they would want to walk out there big chested, you know, because the wife would say to her husband the night before, "Yo, rum cut." And when your wife says to you, "Your rum cut," you know, and she feels fulfilled and satisfied, and you know, your chest is full and the adrenaline is pumping and the testosterone is pumping, and men need testosterone to bring about that manly power, to bring about that strength. And ladies, you need that strength.
You need your man's ego to be strong. You need to have a man that's got fire in his eyes. You need to have a man that's got fire in his belly, fire in his voice. That say, I'm going to do things. I'm going to challenge things. I'm going to be strong for my wife, for my family, for God, for the kingdom. And this is one of the tools how you can build and establish and grow your man's ego and strength. It's what I would, testosterone is what I would call the conqueror hormone. But it's not only the conqueror hormone, but the conqueror mindset. Because when a man comes out of an amazing time with his wife, he feels like he can conquer the world because his wife has honored him. She has blessed him. She has served him in love. Render unto one another affection. Served him in love, honored him, and then he feels like, I've got something to fight for. I've got someone to fight for. I've got someone who believes in me. I've got someone who's going to pour out her love onto me. And I'm worth it. You know, Andre and I were joking yesterday because we were losing the putt-putt to the ladies. And so we'd say to each other every now and then, I'm awesome. We're awesome. Because men want to be awesome. And ladies, you got the ability to make your man feel awesome. Use that ability wisely. Unless we lose blood. I want to tell you a funny story. One night, I woke up. We were still in Potchefstroom. Let me just get some water here. And I was lying in bed. And there was a thief, an inbreaker, coming into the door of our bedroom. And I was sort of half asleep because I was lying in bed and I heard like knocking sounds through the house. But it's not like the cat and it's not like the kids. It's because you get to know sounds. This is a strange sound. And in my subconscious, I'm wondering, what is this? And then all of a sudden, I see this criminal in the bedroom walking in like this. And I'm thinking to myself, my first thought is, Vrachtig. He is it now, the inbreker. But in the same time that I was thinking that thought, I had a tenth of a second split reaction. And in one move, I pulled over the blankets, I stepped with my one foot onto the bed mattress, and I shot like an arrow at this guy. And immediately I thought, I don't know what this guy's got in his hands. It can be a knife. It can be a gun. So I've grabbed him here by his upper arms. And my whole plan was to disable him and to take him and ram him into the wall. I could smash his skull and I could pop him open. And as I jumped out, I made like a cross between a Tarzan growl and a tiger growl. And a samurai war cry. You know, and I grabbed him by the arms and I was about to smash his skull and then he went, and I realized instantaneously that it was Christelle. And she was pulling in a mattress for one of the kids, and that's why she was walking like a. And the mattress was knocking the doors throughout the whole house. And she kept on crying. She just sat there, for a solid 2 minutes. And I said to her, Do my best, it's ack. She said, Ack, Venus, yay! Because she was terrified by the fact that her own husband is going to kill her now. She's never seen her husband like that. And for 3 hours, we were lying in bed, laughing and giggling. And then it's the one, and then it's the other, and it's the one, and the other. And I asked her, I said, listen, do you feel safer now at least? She says, no, I don't. And I told her, never sleep with a balaclava in winter. It might be harmful.
ego is a good thing. Your man needs that strength when the visitor comes in the night. Okay, let's calm down. Okay. Can I make another point here quickly? Firstly, there's a connection between sex and a man's ego. Secondly, there's a connection between a man's own perceived ability to please his wife and his ego. Ladies, you must have caught this up by now, but most men in the world compare their sizes. You know, when little boys stand in the PPQ, they all look. When they shower together in the hostel, they look, you know. And it's like in a man's mind, size matters. Because in a man's mind, he thinks that size is going to determine his ability to fulfill his wife. In books and everywhere we read, women saying, no, it doesn't matter. In scientific books, we read that it's only the first four centimeters of a woman's vagina that's got all of those sensitive parts. The rest of it doesn't really matter that much. So size doesn't really matter, but in a man's mind and his eyes, that it's going to lead him to come to a place where he can be able to fulfill his wife. A man has got a great need to satisfy his wife and to know that he was able to do that. I'm a man. I can do this. Which is why I have seen men heartbroken and crushed when they struggle to get an erection and their wife laughs at them. Because they can't do that. And a wife does not know what she's doing to her husband, how she's crushing that man's ego, how she's crushing his confidence. When a man suffers from premature ejaculation or any of those things, and we were laughing at little Joshua, our second youngest son, the other day. He's about 3. And he looks down and he says, "My tolly is still klein." And he's 3. And I'm wondering, where does he get that from? Why am I sharing this with you? The reason for that is that I want you to understand that your husband wants to please you, and he finds fulfillment in you being pleased. And it's important to him to be able to do that. And so where there's struggles, where there's problems, where there's whatever kind of struggles, pray about it, work together, help one another. If he's got premature ejaculation, then go slower, go through some exercises, work it out so that you can find each other and discover each other and come to that place of fulfillment. And I must say at this point, just for those who haven't caught this yet, not all women get what is called a vaginal orgasm. Most women get it through the stimulus of the clitoris. But not all of them experience it through sexual intercourse itself. Many women never in their lifetime experience that. And then we come in the marriage and then there's frustration and both parties are stressed and worried. And it brings pressure in the marriage. Let me tell you, find ways to fulfill one another. Find ways to satisfy one another so that fulfillment can be there. It doesn't have to be this way or that way. You find your own way. Amen? Okay. Right. Number 3. Men love to see the action. Okay. What do I mean by that? Sometimes men prefer positions where they can see what's happening and that really satisfies them. And it makes me think of the story of Roy Cuppy and the wolf. And Roy Cuppy asked the wolf, "Ma oma, hoekom is jou oë so groot? Sodat ek jou beter kan sien, my kind." And that's what I call the battle of the light. Because the ladies sometimes are a bit shy about some curve here and some curve there and not quite feeling comfortable, then the lights must be off. And the guy says, "Man, I want to see the action." So somewhere along the line, you've got to find a midway. That is where the lingerie comes in. That is where the sexy nightie comes in.
not only buy it, wear it. Not just... Because some ladies think if they just have it in the cupboard, it's okay. You've got to wear it. Okay? 95% of pornography in the world, if it's not more than that, is watched by men. Because men are primarily stimulated by what they see. So ladies, your husband needs to see you. Revelation. Surprise him. Be creative. You know, it's never happened, but I'm wondering, you know, what would happen one day if I just walk in the kitchen and, you know, there my wife is standing there with nothing on. I heard some weird stories of a wife that would surprise her husband when he comes home from work and then opens the door, voila! And then there's like the boss that's come to visit. So you got to make sure there's not those kind of mishaps. But you know, bless your husband with some nakedness, okay? He needs to see it in the lingerie. He needs to see it in the nightie, not omasarok. And sometimes just bath together, shower together. He needs to lay his eyes on you. Okay. Enough said. Men love live feedback. Okay. It's like commentary on sports. Ladies, when there's like 10 men sitting watching the Springboks play rugby, and you come in there and you switch the volume off of the commentary, you're going to have a lot of very unhappy men. They want to hear what is happening there. They want to not only see that, they want to hear somebody commenting and talking about this. And even before the days of TV, the men would sit and listen to the radio and listen to it. They don't just want to read it in the newspaper. They want to hear what's happening step by step, action point. And there was one specific commentator, Gerard Vivier, you know, had this sort of like a deep voice, and then he would speak something like this. En naas boete, hierdie bal uit daar na mannetjiesroe. En mannetjiesroe slaan die gaping. En hy is voorbij die binnencenter. En hy is voorbij die binnencenter. En daar voor hom, hier kom hy nou af op die heel achter. Hier kom hy op die heel achter. En hy trap links en hy trap rechts en hy is voorbij hom. En daar kom John Cowan, die All Black vleel, op kruisverdediging. En hy probeer hom afsny. En dis een resies vir die lijn. En dis mannetjiesroe en dis John Cowan. En dis mannetjiesroe en dis John Cowan. En dis mannetjiesroe en dis John Cowan. En dis mannetjiesroe en hy druk hom onder die pale. En die skade gaan mal. Sorry. Let you. Okay. Just a few more points. I'm going to be quick. Some men like a little bit of a tease, a little bit of a naughtiness, a little bit of an adventure. And this is give and take. Again, love gives. Women want to be sometimes just peaceful and relaxed, and the guy wants a little bit of adventure. Sometimes you got to give, and sometimes you got to take. Okay? Women mostly, Christelle would speak more about that, want privacy and security. Men sometimes like to be a little bit more daring. Now, another important point. Men need foreplay too. Oftentimes it's assumed that because the man has got his fountain and everything is always ready for action, that there's no foreplay necessary. But men do need foreplay. And they do enjoy it. And the longer that is stretched out, the bigger the man's climax is, actually. So ladies, bless your husband also with some foreplay for him, okay? Then, I'm going to close off with something very important. A term that I call privileged access. Many times it happens, this is on a more serious note. It happens that women look at a man's sex drive and his ego and the connection between his sex drive and his ego, and they think, oh, what a weakling. I can turn him around my little pinky. You know, I just swing my hips like this, and then he will do whatever I want to. And sometimes I've seen it that woman, because it looks and it appears
to be a weakness. The man is weak because I can just do my thing and use my sexual prowess and I can get my way. Ladies, if you think that, you are utterly deceived. Because when a man is intimate with a woman and he comes closer to her, he also opens his heart. It's not only the women that open their hearts. The man also opens his heart. He makes himself vulnerable to you. It's not because of your sexual power. It's because he loves you and he deliberately chooses to make himself vulnerable. That which you deem as weakness is vulnerability given to you. It's not your right, it's your privilege. And I've seen women abusing sex to manipulate and to control and to overpower their husbands sometimes to devastating effects. It is your privilege. It is not your right. Sometimes women develop a silent arrogance in this area as well. What happens when you violate this privileged access, when you abuse it? One of three things. Either he becomes weak and he just submits and he just follows you. There he goes. And you just have your way, and then you've got him wrapped around your pinky. And what kind of man is that? It's not the man that's going to kill the unbreaker. And then you're wondering why your man doesn't go out there and conquer the world. Because he loves you. And he cares for you. And he doesn't want to fight with you all the time. So he just gives in. The second option is he becomes aggressive, abusive, violent sometimes. Because his manhood is being attacked by his own wife. His manliness and his strength is being attacked. And so he's either going to lie down or he's going to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do this. And then sometimes couples are fighting and they're struggling and they're fighting sometimes even physically and throwing each other with stuff. And they don't know what the source is. I'll tell you, many times this year is the source. When a woman starts to challenge the manlihood of her husband and his ego and belittles him in one way or another. I'm not condoning physical violence. I'm not condoning that. But I'm saying to you that sometimes this is a source of that. And then the third option, which is almost the worst, is he just shuts you out. He just closes his heart. And then we get to that picture that Andre showed, the emotional separation, the one just before physical separation. Because the wife did not honor her man's heart. When you honor your man in the area of sex, you honor his heart. When you build him up and you call him a ramkat, and you give him positive commentary, you're going to build him up. Don't break your husband down. Build him up and you'll be blessed. Amen.